I mean, when I started my Instagram account many years ago, it was an account for myself. You know, it was like my pictures, my family, my friends, what I was doing. And then like somewhere along the way, people thought that was interesting and they all, you know, people started following. I don't know, my philosophy on Instagram hasn't changed throughout the years. Like I feel that it's still my page and still my life. And I would be fooling myself and everyone else if I just talked about how life was perfect all the time. I mean, life is great a lot of the time, and sometimes it just sucks. So I think that's important to not portray this like false sense of perfection, because I think that, I mean, we live in such a world where we just like scroll through everyone's perfect moments, and I think that can create a lot of problems for people. And so I think it's important to be honest, and I'm not like, I feel like that's important to do, and I would do that if I had 10 followers or if I had 10,000 followers or 100,000 followers. I don't feel like painting a pretty picture if it's not there. I feel like honesty is important. I think my Instagram, when we moved here, it took off because I was doing these things before work that people like weren't doing ever. Like I would climb hood before going to work.
What's possible? Opening up these possibilities. You could do things before work, after work, on your weekends. Make the best use of your time. I think exactly. That's a message that goes beyond the outdoorsy stuff. You know, really push yourself.
That's Alex Borsuk.
She's an Instagram star, dietitian, and ultra marathoner. She's our special guest today, along with producer and rap artist Jack Kennedy.
Jack's latest release, Inauguration, can be found on your favorite streaming platforms. I'm Gregory Day. You're listening to PDXPodcast.com. More from Alex and her husband Matt in a moment. Let's connect with Jack Kennedy right now and learn more about his background and debut LP.
Jack Kennedy, is that your real name?
That's my name.
That's your real name.
Yeah.
Inauguration, what's that about?
So this is just like the first, it's a play off the president, you know, because everyone used to call me the president. So I was like, I might as well do it. Like my style's kind of more up, you know, kind of that classic like JFK looking thing anyway.
People call you the president?
Yeah. Like okay. My whole life. That's, and you know, especially in college, that's like what everyone called me. So I was like, really? Might as well just run with it. And so after I opened for Wayne and did the Warp Tour, opened for Migos actually too during that time. And I was like, gosh, I'm getting all these really cool opportunities, but I'm getting them because I know what to do on the back end. I know how to position myself. I know how. It's not because like in some of the response from the music, I was like, I feel like I should be stronger, you know, for musically. Like I feel like people aren't really reacting to the music how I think they should. So I kind of just went into the studio for like a year and a half and just was like, I need to like really bring some heat and like really get my skills to where they need to be. Because I was still, you know, when I was doing all that stuff, I was still just like, I didn't know. I didn't have a project out. I didn't know how I wanted to sound. I was just like making music and putting it out in the world. And I feel like now I know what I want to sound like. So that's why I titled it Inauguration, because it feels like the beginning. It's like this is the beginning. Like I finally figured it out, you know, and I finally figured out the quality and like how to do it all myself and make it sound good and, you know, compete with like what's out there right now.
Compete?
Yeah, like I mean, you play it. I don't think it sounds out of place, like against, you know, the sound quality, the mixing, the production. Obviously, if you enjoy it or not is subjective.
It's well produced.
Yeah, thanks.
But it's all you?
Yeah, I did everything myself, literally, just in my apartment. But it took me, you know, a while to figure out how do you compete with the million-dollar studios on your laptop? You know, it's 10,000 hours. So.
The Malcolm Gladwell theory.
Oh
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
You created this entire album on your laptop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all on my laptop, and most of it's like, a lot of it's just my voice. Because I learned how to produce records by, I'd go to the record store every day and grab a record out of the dollar bin and force myself to like sample it and make a beat out of it. And so, you know, sometimes you get a weird record because I didn't like discriminate. I just pick whatever and force myself to flip it. And so I kind of got all these techniques to, you know, filter things or make them sound like distort the sound or, you know, flip it some weird way. And I was like, geez, I don't want to sample for this album because I want to own all of it. And like, I want it to be all my own songwriting. But I use a lot of those techniques on my voice. And so, like, I kind of turn it into an instrument on most of the songs. So, like, you probably can't even tell a lot of times, but it's, like, my voice doing something weird, you know? And it's, like, it takes the place of the instruments.
I can't tell.
Yeah. It takes the place of the instruments a lot.
Your voice doing something weird.
Like,
can,
it's just
can you give me
an singing.
Example, like a beat?
Yeah, like a beat. Either, like, a beatbox or, like, I'll... You know, I have a bunch of effects that I'll do, and it'll be a melody part. So, like, it'll be the lead melody, but it sounds like an instrument. And I always tell people, especially even if I'm producing for them, you know, like, the one thing, everyone has the same pianos. They have the same synths. We all have the same, just like it is, you know, in every industry. It's like, it comes down to you are the only one that has your voice, and you're the only one that has your taste. Yeah. And so that's kind of what I try to differentiate with.
So you're a producer too.
Yeah.
You're producing mm-hmm. other artists?
I've done a couple here in Portland, yeah. I hadn't done a ton of stuff. Like in the past, I kind of just got plugged in through my video friend. Did some stuff.
The production is top quality. It's what
Thanks.
I notice first.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Listening
yeah.
to your music is how well produced it is.
Thank you.
It's radio friendly, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, I like pop.
If you listen to radio.
Yeah, yeah. I like T-Swift. You know, I used to kind of make stuff kind of like proving that I could rap, I feel like, almost, where I would, like, almost be afraid to kind of make it more radio-friendly. And on this record, I was just like, I like that stuff, and that's what I'm going to do. And if people don't like it, then that's okay. They can go listen to something else, you know?
And you got a real sense of, you know, how to market this. I sense that, and you got a very popular Instagram page.
Well, it's getting there. We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, the image is, yeah, it's great. Sharp dressed guy.
People are not telling the truth if they don't think it matters. You know, it definitely matters.
Alex and Matt, nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you too.
This is very exciting. I've never spoke to a dietitian before, and you're kind of an Instagram star, and you're offering different packages for folks in Portland, available on your website, alexborsuk.com. Can you tell us about these programs you're offering?
Sure. So I actually not only offer them to people in Portland, but people all around
worldwide,
the country.
Worldwide, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and worldwide too. So essentially I start with offering like a basic package, and it takes an in-depth look at someone's diet, you know, what they're eating, the calories they're eating, the macronutrient distribution, what they might be deficient in, what they may have too much of, and we take all that information and we use that to build like a comprehensive plan. The diet isn't just calorie based. There's a lot of other things that go into making a good healthy diet. We look at, you know, stresses in your life, your work, your lifestyle, your exercise habits, you know, your support system, your fears, your motivations. We use all of that to
fears.
Yeah, a lot of times you know, if you're afraid to make a new move or afraid to start something different, that can hold you back from doing something. So, you know, maybe someone's afraid to try new foods. Well, you know, that's something we're going to have to work on. So we talk about the things that that go into your diet. Because, again, it's not just food that affects what we eat. I mean, what we do, our habits, it manifests in food. So I look at all the, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff in order to use food to create a healthier lifestyle.
And you can tell, I mean, a lot from just an initial consultation. Now, the first package is how long? How long do you manage work with a client?
So I sit and talk with them for about an hour. Again, it's just me asking questions. The more I can know about them, the more specific I can make their diet. So, I mean, anyone can go on Google and look up diet information, but there's so much there, and that's really not helpful when it's not very specific. So, you know, me asking like very specific questions, getting to know about that person, and not just like what they eat, but why they eat it and what affects what they eat, you know, all that's super important. So talk to them for an hour and then, you know, do some work in between. I give them goals. I work on things in between based on what we talked about. And then we meet a second time for half an hour, 60 minutes, and kind of like review that, see kind of where they stand and use that to build a plan for them that works with their lifestyle.
Right, and a plan. Now, I know that what I like to eat differs from month to month, so it gets a bit difficult, you know, just from one consultation to really get in a comprehensive plan, get together. So I would think I would need a bit longer of a plan. So the second tier is what? How long do you meet with the folks?
Definitely. So like the first part is a good place to start. You know, it gives you like
right,
that framework.
Right.
It's great. And for someone who's like kind of maybe nervous about seeing a dietitian or maybe had a bad experience in the past, like it's a good place to start. After that appointment is when people really get excited. You know, they can see like the changes or what we can do together, how we can work together. And so I offer then 3 months or 6 months after that. Just use, you know.
3 months or 6 months, right. Okay.
Yeah. So meeting every 2 weeks to kind of go over our goals, use that to make new goals for the next week.
Right. So you get a real idea if someone's a binge eater or likes to just delve into hamburgers.
Definitely.
Every
learn
now
a lot
then.
About, you know, I learn a lot about them. They learn a lot about themselves. It's a great journey we get to go on together.
You guys are ultra marathoners, both of you. Is that how you met? Is that how you connected?
No. That was something we picked up when we moved to Portland. We met climbing, rock climbing, back in Ohio.
Back in Ohio.
Back in Ohio, yeah.
And this was how long ago?
6 years ago at this point, I think.
6 years ago. And you're newlyweds, essentially.
We are. Yep. We got married in last September.
Did you get married in the rain?
We did.
You did? I saw an umbrella in one of the pictures.
We actually got married twice. Once in Ohio and once in Portland, because once is not enough to plan a wedding.
We got married remarried in about a week. So.
Yeah, well, we did it for the price of one wedding, actually. We're thrifty.
You have to be creative.
We have a bunch of all of our families in Ohio, so we got married with our family and friends there. And we have a lot of friends in Portland, and we felt kind of guilty making people travel back and forth across the country. So we had like a celebration in Ohio and then came back here a week later to celebrate with our friends in Portland.
That is very pragmatic. Can you give us a little bit of a sense of your background? Because you have a strong musical background. You used to be in a rock band, I understand.
Yeah. In high school, I was a drummer in an 80s hair metal band, which was tough times, as everyone in high school knows, you know. So that was weird. Weird times. But
I remember
hair. And then I just got into college, and I started rapping. Like, and I would just rap on my laptop, you know, like into my laptop. And I was playing football in college at the time at Michigan, and so we had a talent show.
They got a good team there.
Yeah,
good college team.
Oh yeah. It's people are crazy about it. Yeah. It's fun. It was a good time.
Is it the Wolverines?
Wolverines.
Okay,
yeah. Didn't do as well as we wanted this year, but right. we're coming. Right. Yeah. And so they had this, like, you know, the freshmen have to do a talent show. And so me and my buddy, we got up and we did like an 8 Mile, the 8 Mile song. Because he's like, you need to rap for the team. Like, you need to rap for the team. Yeah. So I did. And like, people were just going crazy. And I was like, all right, like, maybe this is actually something. Maybe this is not just like me and my laptop. Maybe I have some talent. So then I just kind of pursued it, you know, throughout college. And they had a great facility at Michigan that they kind of let us use. And so I kind of figured out how to like record and like use a studio there. And then I graduated and just jumped in and just kind of you know, went after it.
It's pretty slick. Now, what would you characterize as your break into the game? You've got some impressive footage on your webpage.
That's a credit to my buddy. He runs a video company, Video Vision 360, shout out. But he's always been, like, from the very beginning, been a huge supporter. And so he makes everything, we always say, he makes everything look way sweeter than it is, you know, in real life.
Well, but this is live footage. You've got a big crowd.
Yeah, no, I mean, probably the biggest break was opening for Lil Wayne. That was super cool because he's a huge sports fan. And he was coming to Detroit, and I was just
when was this?
This was in June 2015, so it was a little bit ago. And I was like, wow, like Jim Harbaugh, who coached for the 49ers, had just been hired at Michigan as their head coach, and we were both quarterbacks at Michigan in college, so I knew him.
Play for Chicago?
Yeah, he played for Chicago. He's a QB. So I knew him. I knew him pretty well, and I kind of could see, you know, they're interfacing with all these celebrities. That kind of a thing. And I was like, wow, it would be kind of a good connect to get, like, Harbaugh, I bet, would do something with Wayne. And so I went to it was the radio station that was throwing the concert. And I said, hey, like, maybe, you know, this would be a cool connect. And so they put me on the show, and, like, we got Wayne a jersey and just, you know, hung out, and he was super cool.
So how was that? How was the energy
of
the crowd?
It was wild. And it's an arena. That was, like, my third show ever. And it was an arena, you know? So it's like the biggest show for, you know, rap in Detroit all year. And I was, like, the only local person to ever get put on it, which was crazy. But just by some, like, you know, you kind of see how the game works and see where the value is, you know? Like, I can't sell a bunch of tickets, but I can, you know, give Lil Wayne something really cool. And so they like that. And so I think that was a big eye-opening experience. And then one of the other big breaks was Vans Warped Tour. I don't know if you know what that is. Yeah, so I played on that.
Also big.
Yeah, played on that when it came to Detroit. But how I did that was another kind of just crazy kind of back room thing. So me and my buddy,
back room.
So what I did was my favorite thing.
Rolling dice in the back room?
Yeah, just, you know, all those connects, you know, the handshakes, all those, you know.
Okay.
It's shady business.
So how did that happen?
Yeah, so
connected
Chipotle
with the right people?
Is my favorite food ever.
Yeah, me too.
Love Chipotle. So I was like, I want to get sponsored by Chipotle and go on Vans.
Get that queso.
Yeah, so I drove to Denver, where their headquarters is, just on a whim, just drove. And we made them this big video and this big, like, package. And I just walked in, like, 5 days in a row. And aggressive, like you were saying, it was aggressive. But I was like, you need to meet with me.
You walked in.
Yeah, to their headquarters, like to the front desk. And I had this big package, like, made up for their marketing guy because I figured out who he was, like, off LinkedIn. And then
I love LinkedIn. I've made so many connections
off
LinkedIn.
It's
a great resource.
It's really good. It's really good. And I walked in, and we had a video and, like, a pitch deck. And basically what we did was we pitched them, like, a video series on Vans Warped Tour following me. And they didn't end up doing it, but they took the meeting. So I ended up getting a meeting with, like, the head of the marketing at Chipotle on a whim, which is crazy. And so they were super cool. But then I called Vans, and I was like, hey, you know, Chipotle's not going to do it this year, but they gave me a bunch of free burritos, and they want to do, like, a pilot video. And so that got
me in.
It's
worth it just for those burritos.
It was absolutely worth it for the burritos. They gave me 30 burritos. They gave me 30 free burritos. It was unbelievable. That was, I mean, who cares what happened, right?
30 days of pleasure right there.
Unbelievable. And so then I took it to Vans, and Vans basically said, hey, we'd been looking to get Chipotle on board for a while, so, like, why don't you come and, you know, do your little video. And, you know, and so we got a bunch of the artists, like, filmed them, interviewed them, gave them all burritos. And it was super cool. But, I mean, nothing ended up. Vans wasn't quite the right fit for me, I don't think, as an artist long term, but, like, it was a super cool experience, and everyone there was really, really fun, and they're awesome, and all the artists were really fun. And but again, just another, like, you know, like, kind of just seeing the value, like, what can I bring, rather than just, I think a lot of people in music are like, listen to my music, and it's like, well, why would Vans care about you? Like, you have 1,000 followers, you're not going to sell tickets, you're not, like, you got to bring them something. You know, that's just how the world works. Like, I mean,
you know, you wouldn't think a music career could you know, benefit from LinkedIn, but I think it can.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to hear more about your stuff too, because like it's all just relationships and like, and it's just always remembering these. They're people. Like even the people in the very high, you know, reaches that you're trying to get to, they're just people, and like they, you know, they like to be treated as people, not as like, hey, put me on.
I'm actually curious, I mean, because I'm on this same show that you're on in the morning, Morgan Day, Oregon. There were a lot of questions that were fielded. What didn't make it into this segment on KPTV? I know Molly asked you quite a bit.
Yeah, she asked me about Peanut.
About Peanut, oh.
She asked me about nutrition, things I do with that.
Right, right. What did she ask you about Peanut? Is it a sore subject for you to discuss?
It's not a sore subject. It's a tough subject, for sure.
It's a tough subject. I've lost a dog.
Yeah.
Many years you had Peanut, right?
Yeah, he was 7. I had him since he was a couple of weeks old. So, he was with us for a long time.
I know this is out of left field. Do you dream about Peanut?
I've had dreams. Yeah, not often. I wish there were more, but I've had some.
Really?
Yeah. I think... It was really tragic, and I think that's been made it really tough for us to talk about or deal with.
My dog died 10 years ago, and I still dream about the little guy, and he pops up, and he's just there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in a way, he's never left.
That's
he's never
awesome.
Left me.
Those are special. You have to cherish those.
You know, it's the same with humans. Mm-hmm. They'll pop up in your dreams. They're there in your subconscious. They never really leave you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a new dog, Otto, and he's got some big paws to fill.
Yeah.
You're the automobile, and I saw him jump into your backpack.
Yeah.
Now I know why. When I saw that, I was like, okay, well, now I know why this Instagram is very popular. How's the training going? Because apparently he could be a little bit of a devil.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, it's hard to raise a puppy.
It is. Yeah. He's still a puppy.
Yeah, we love him. He's amazing, but raising a puppy's hard, especially when you go from having like a very well-behaved good dog to a very young, crazy, wild devil dog.
Awesome. So Matt, you're an outdoorsy guy too.
I am.
And you caught the bug early too, right?
Yeah. So I grew up backpacking, you know, living in Ohio. There's not a ton of outdoorsy opportunities due to maybe the mountains, but you can find nature everywhere, so I would go backpacking with my dad quite a bit. I was involved in the Boy Scouts as a kid and just kind of...
Oh, you know how to do all the knots.
Exactly, yeah.
How far did you make it in Boy Scouts?
I actually got my Eagle Scout.
Wow, so I went. I'm talking to an Eagle Scout. Yeah. You're the first one I've ever spoken to on this show.
Look at that.
Day for first, very nice.
Your mother, your parents were very supportive, Alex, of you being... So outdoorsy, you just caught the bug. You just had to be out there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I loved it as a little kid. And then when I was in college, I joined some outdoor clubs and, you know, went backpacking and rock climbing. That's actually how we met.
I want to hear this story. It's always interesting to hear.
You can tell it, Matt.
How couples got together.
All right. So I was the president of the Mountaineering Club at Ohio State, which is a bit... ironic, I'd say.
Since there's no mountains in Ohio.
Because there's not mountains there. But we had a pretty strong club there of at least 150 active members at all times. And we were more so a rock climbing club, but...
That's a lot of folks.
Yeah, it was a...
To get a mountain.
Yeah, it was a big... it was
or
a
hill.
Yeah. Well, we didn't take 150 people on trips. We would do a bunch of smaller trips, and we did a lot of instruction and... guiding folks, teaching them how to be safe in the outdoors and safely rock climb, and kind of pass on that teaching, pay it forward. It's a big thing at Ohio State. So I was, yeah, so Alex came to a meeting for the first time, and she came up to me afterwards and was asking
about... 6 years ago?
About 6 years ago,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she came up to me at one of the meetings and was asking about a trip that we were going on and whether dogs were welcome. So I said, well, give me your email address and I'll see if I can find out some more information. Yeah. Should have asked for the phone number, but
we emailed for three weeks.
So yeah, then we started emailing back and forth, kind of like it was text messaging, and then eventually like, hey,
you're a man of authority, so
yeah, exactly. That's
couldn't resist.
That's the true story. She likes authority.
Okay, so and you got together, you started climbing, you started going out.
Yeah, started going outside. Did a number of trips. Went to, I think the first big trip we went on was to Red Rock Canyon, Nevada. So we would do these annual trips.
We drove there from Ohio.
So we would get in a van with 12 other people and drive 32 hours across the country one way, rock climb for 6 days, and then a little bit of partying in between that, and then drive back to Ohio and get back to school.
Right, and you both graduated. You became an engineer. And Alex became a dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you end up in Portland, of all places?
Yeah, so I, right out of grad school, I accepted a job in Bellingham, Washington. And it was my first time ever being in the Northwest. So
first time ever?
Yeah. I mean,
now, you must have heard about the Northwest.
I mean, kind of.
Like Nirvana, like rain.
I mean, yeah, rain. I've heard of that. But yeah, not really anything else about it. I mean, we were more of like Arizona, Utah, California people. I don't know. Like growing up with my family.
Right.
So it's my first time going there. And I flew in for the interview and I was like, I'm sold. I'm moving here. So a couple weeks later,
I moved. You were sold. What sold you on this place?
The volcanoes.
The volcanoes.
I'd never seen like Rainier and Mount Baker. I'd never seen anything like that. It was amazing. So a couple weeks later, I moved out here for the job, and so I lived in Bellingham for a year, worked up there.
And this job was?
Yeah, I was a supermarket dietitian.
Right.
So
right.
I worked
for a major chain.
Yeah, in the Bellingham area. I worked to, you know, do store tours, group classes, individual consultations, personal shopping with people, kind of like bridging the gap of people. They like say they get diagnosed with diabetes in the hospital, and then they don't really know how to make those changes in real life. So I kind of, you know, take them with their diagnosis, shop around for like what would help them, and then they get to go home and, you know, use new recipes and new products to help with their disease.
It's got to be satisfying work, right?
It was awesome. I loved it.
I mean, you got some success stories. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I loved that job.
Right. Okay. And then you made the jump to Portland.
Yeah, Matt.
How did this happen?
Matt's job ended up, he worked, well, you can talk, but.
Yeah, I worked for a company back in Ohio that was headquartered there and met some folks that were from the location out here in Portland and just kind of had a connection and said, hey, if you guys are ever looking for, you know, to hire some new folks, let me know. I'd be interested in coming out. And with our interest in the Northwest and having spent time out here, it was kind of a natural move to come out here and try something new and get ourselves closer to some adventure.
Right, and adventure is right. Lots of trips out to Mount Hood. Where are your favorite spots?
Oh, like in the Northwest?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, we love Mount Hood just because it's so close and local. We love the North Cascades. That's probably, I'd have to say, our favorite place. The Wallowa is another amazing place. We spend a lot of time there.
And you're waking up early in the morning at like at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, sometimes.
To get out there to beat the traffic?
Basically just to do stuff before you have to go to work.
Right, because you work a full-time job too?
I do.
You do? 9 to 5? But you're really big on making it work after work and on the weekends. And that's, again, what I think makes your Instagram page very inspiring. Not only are you very forthcoming, but you're a person that does it. And that does inspire people to get the hell out of the house. It's more important than ever.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Definitely.
Do you feel like you're serving a purpose here by leading by example and helping people in ways perhaps you're not even aware of?
Well, that's really flattering to think about.
I think it's there. I think that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be awesome if it is. I mean, I've talked to people in person, or I've received messages from people who have talked about being inspired and, changing their lifestyles, whether it bringing their dog to more places or if it's, you know, maximizing their time before or after work. So that always feels really good to hear.
And Matt, you're a busy guy too. You're taking all these photos. My goodness.
Not all of them.
But a lot.
Yeah.
And you're out there too. You're a big, big part of this.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun. She's definitely the motivation to get up and get after it. You know, I enjoy these activities, but we kind of scheme up some plans together. She usually wants to go a few steps further, and I'm like, I don't know. But by the time the weekend rolls around, I'm pretty convinced of doing so. Turns out for the better. So
you guys have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Is that because you're young? Is why, you know, you're very motivated to get out there?
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, one, I'm making up for lost time from not living here my whole life. There's so many things to see and do, and it's like they're all at our fingertips. So that's really motivating. But also, like, we live a pretty healthy lifestyle, and I think that helps too. I mean, we have good diets, we get good sleep, we are active, and I think that all plays in part with our energy.
Good diets. So plenty of veggies, controlled carbs, high protein.
Lots of carbs, yeah.
Lots of carbs.
a balanced diet, definitely. And one in moderation. Like, I think people that are too strict necessarily, like, aren't having fun. And not that food is like a social thing, right? I mean, food is nutritious, but it also plays a big role in our social life. And so if you can't go out for a beer and burger with your friends after climbing.
That's what really surprised me, a dietitian going out for a beer, talking about beer and tacos.
It's all
what I expected.
All about moderation.
I was thinking broccoli and rice and, you know, plain brown rice.
Oh, no. I mean, the food has to be enjoyable.
Thank you, Alex, Matt, and Jack. Today's show was produced and edited by Gregory Day, that's me. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. We'll be back next week. See you then.